Governor Bush, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks.
I just watched you shaking hands and having photographs taken with some of the people here. You seem to really enjoy campaigning.
I do. I like retail politics. I love to deal with people that are, you know, feel like they never get a chance to speak to candidates before. I'm comfortable with what I believe in, and I'm comfortable with people, and I like it. I do.
One of the reasons why you've been a successful governor in Texas is because of your personable style. It seems that you favor consensus over confrontation. You support the concept of collaboration. Do you think these skills would translate well to the White House?
I hope so. I don't mind conflict. I don't mind holding my ground, which I do. I mean, I think it's important to be a principled person in the political arena. There's a difference between being someone who knows how to get something done and someone who is unprincipled. I'm a person who is principled. I do not take polls to tell me what to think or focus groups on how to, you know, on how to kind of tailor a message. But once in power, I've figured out the difference between politics and policy. But I understand nothing's going to get done unless there's Republicans and Democrats both coming to get something done, and to have a president who's willing to spend the political capital necessary. And I'm going to do that. That's why I'm running.
In terms of your personality, when I first met you in Gorham, New Hampshire, you didn't realize I was a reporter, and you put your arm around my shoulder in a way I've seen you do with a lot of people who come to hear you speak. And it made me realize that you really are good one-on-one with people. I had a really warm feeling from that. The question is this what we really need in a president for the United States right now?
I mean, my natural style is to be warm to people. But it's also important to empathize and understand people. I don't think this country needs somebody who's aloof from the people. I know this country doesn't need somebody who's running because things are bad. We ought to have somebody who's running because they believe and trust the American people and the goodness of our country.
What was it like for you being the son of George Bush Sr.? It must have had a huge impact on you.
Of course it did. People oftentimes ask me about my dad. I cannot be objective. Now, the good news for me was is that I was much older by the time he ran for the presidency. I was 18 years old when he first ran for office. I was pretty much out of the house, kind of making my own way. And it was tough. The good moments were great. I mean, his swearing in, or our family gatherings at Camp David for Christmas were just beautiful experiences. But I didn't suffer very well the criticism. I was his most loyal supporter, and I reacted poorly at times when people criticized him.
Do you think that you were making a mistake when you reacted negatively?
Well, that's a good question. In retrospect, I got a little harsh with some reporters, not many. But you know something, I couldn't have done it any other way. And I've tried to explain to reporters since then, I love my dad to the point where I felt like I was a warrior on his behalf. And this was in 92, which was a miserable year. I mean, this is a great guy going down in flames, and I could feel it. And I felt like at times he was on fire and the reporters were dumping kerosene on him. And they should not have taken my comments personally.
Let me switch to international affairs for a moment. I believe if you were president, you would alter things a little bit. You'd use a more pragmatic approach to foreign policy. You'd wouldn't think that the U.S. should serve as the policeman to the world. You'd pick and choose a little bit more which conflicts to involve the U.S. in. I believe you said, for example, that you wouldn't have gone into Somalia. Where do you see the dividing line?
That's a great question. It's a question that anybody who could be president must answer. It's called, what's our national strategic interests? Our hemisphere is our national strategic interests. Europe and the growing problems with Russia are in our national strategic interests. The Far East, in the Middle East, Israel, and peace and stability is in our national strategic interests. The national strategic interest means that's a place where the United States, if need be, as last resort, would commit troops. Beyond that, I think the United States must work with our allies to become peacekeepers. We can't be peacekeepers. We can't be overextended around the world. Listen, I worry about humanitarian crisis, but our mission with the military must be focused and determined. And if ever I were to commit troops, it is for something in our national strategic interests with one thing in mind, clear, swift victory and an exit strategy that people can understand.
Let's take Burundi for an example right now. I believe the Tutsi who are in power are sending the Hutu into camps, and we could be seeing another Rwanda in the making. Would it ever be in our interests to intervene in a situation like that?
I think it would be in our interest to convince humanitarian agencies to intervene. I don't think it'd be in our interest to commit our troops. As much as I hate the slaughter that can conceivably go on, it is in our interest to use our prestige and power to intercede to prevent that from happening, not with troops, but with diplomacy, and to convince an agency such as the United Nations to provide the humanitarian help to prevent the war from breaking out in the first place. Now, it's in our interests to prevent a genocide around the world. It's just not in our strategic interest to the point in which we would commit troops.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks.